I want to pick up on three of the phrases that Simeon uses in those words that are attributed to him in verses 29 to 32. And what I want to actually do is take them in reverse order. Start at the end and work back to the beginning. So we're actually going to begin at verse 32, where he says there, speaking of what's just occurred and this little infant who he's now looking at and says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Now, God's message of salvation, of course, was brought in the first instance to his special and chosen nation of Israel. But even then, in Old Testament days, those from outside the house of Israel were welcome to join them if they would embrace the God of Israel as their God. Probably one of the best examples of that is the Old Testament story of Ruth. And the point was made very strongly in the Old Testament scriptures that the unique place of the nation of Israel was actually never to be to the exclusion of everyone else. Some of those very first things were, those early laws that were given to them were for Israel, the civil laws that were laid down were for the nation of Israel, the ceremonial laws that were given were for their worship of God, but the moral law of God that was given, well, that's not exclusive to Israel. That's God's desire for every man and woman and boy and girl who's ever walked this earth. And there are actually all kinds of statements made to this effect in the Old Testament that God doesn't want Israel to get the wrong idea, but to understand that actually this is for the Gentiles also. So let me just read you one verse as an example, and you'll actually, if you took this as a study topic, you'd find there are many verses that speak in this same kind of way. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 49 and verse 6. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. It's too small a thing that you should be my servant for Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. I suspect it's a scripture just like this one that Simeon knew, so that he spoke the way he did. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. All through the Old Testament, God made it clear the nation of Israel is just the starting point. This Messiah, this salvation is to be for everyone. This nation of Israel are his channel and his instrument through whom he's bringing these things. But it was never to be exclusive to them. And in the Lord's great kindness to Simeon, he's enabled him by the Spirit to see and to know that by this child, all will be fulfilled. Who can know on any given day in the temple in Jerusalem how many couples may have been coming in with a newborn to bring these offerings and gifts? But by God's Spirit, Simeon is able to see and recognize Joseph and Mary. Ah, now. This is the one. This is the one. By means of this baby born in Bethlehem, salvation shall come to the ends of the earth. and the light of the gospel of Christ will run forth. And that's been the history of the last 2,000 years of the church. And still goes on. And still there are places where the light of the gospel needs to be reached. The Apostle John, of course, picks up on this theme of Christ and light in the opening words of his gospel. The light of the world has come. Life, real life, true life, is only to be found in him. This world, of course, was plunged into spiritual and moral darkness at the fall of Adam. And there is only one source of light that is able to expel that darkness. Just to repeat Keith's theme, that I didn't know he was going to say that, but he did this morning. Here it is again. If you walk into a darkened room, any kind of light will do. Or so we think. But then, use an ultraviolet light and you marvel as anything that is white glows brightly while everything else remains dark. And suddenly, you discover there is a different type of light that you never knew existed. Not all light is the same. You used to think, well, light is light. But actually, it turns out it isn't. This dark world needs a special kind of light. Not just any old light. It needs a light that will expose our sin. It needs a light that will expel our sin and deal with our sin. It needs a light which is only righteousness and goodness. There are many out there in the big wide world who would claim to have achieved some level of enlightenment. But none of them have a light that can do what the light of the world can do. Full of grace and truth, as John declares him. And he's right here in my arms, says Simeon. What a remarkable event this is that took place in Jerusalem that day. What a blessing for this elderly believer. And what a delight it must have been. Surely Joseph and Mary talked together for days and days and days after this, considering Christ, remembering what the angel had said. And of course, this same Jesus is, well, he's right here with us this evening in the person of his Spirit, in the power of his Spirit. The reason that we're sat at this table is because this one who is light has revealed the light of the gospel to us, so that we who once were darkness are now light in the Lord. Ephesians 5:8. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Here is the proof. Secondly, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation. And of course, this prayer and praise is directed to God. Lord, Simeon begins at verse 29. This baby is no mere sign, as the star had been to the wise men. He isn't just a means of announcing a message, as the angels were, first to Joseph and Mary, even before them, to Zacharias, and then later to the shepherds. For Simeon, he understood that to have laid his eyes on this baby, he hadn't merely encountered a sign. This baby is to be God's salvation. The man that this baby will become shall, by his suffering and death and resurrection, become the Saviour of the world. And of course, that has to be the testimony of every true believer, if you're a true believer, that with your spiritual eyes, you have beheld Christ, and that you have seen in Christ God's salvation, and only in Christ, because God's salvation is found nowhere else. It is to see and acknowledge Him. It is to turn and trust in Him. It is to love and adore Him. As we'll be singing tomorrow morning, God willing, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. It is to forsake all and follow Him. It's to be at peace with God and to know that you will now forever be with Him. And our time together right now is that we might remember Him whom our eyes have seen, who is God's salvation. And then let's finish where Simeon began. Lord, verse 29, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. What a glorious thing to be able to say. It's worth pausing and pondering over this. Promise fulfilled is the overriding theme of Simeon's prayer. All is well for me beyond the grave because of Jesus. But surely there's also an expression here that the deep longing and yearning and expecting that had been building up within Simeon like water behind a dam has now found its release and its rest in this baby. He's at rest now. He's at peace now. Because this is the promised one. Remember, all of the true believers in the Old Testament had exactly the same faith as we do, had exactly the same Saviour as we do. They were simply looking forward to His coming and all that He would do then. We are those who are looking back, able to see all that He did and all that was fulfilled. But it's the same faith and it's the same Saviour. And it was that's the case for Simeon here. And we also must note, it's all according to God's word. This hasn't been some pipe dream for Simeon. This hasn't been some bizarre fantasy. This isn't one of those men who may go off and establish some rather weird sect. This is all according to the word of God. This isn't his imagination. getting the better of him. God has been leading and guiding this man by his word, a word of truth and a word of promise. And of course, that's what the Bible is. God's word of truth and God's word of promise. And what is it that brings anyone to want to sit at this most simple of suppers? What is it that qualifies anyone to sit at this most simple of suppers? It's God's word of truth and promise concerning Christ and fulfilled in him and through him. And that's why we're here. It's according to God's word. All the promises fulfilled in the Saviour. And all of us one day will depart this world. And we will do so in one of two ways. Either by death or at Christ's coming. We will either be one of those who've gone before, or we will be one of those who are caught up in the air and join them. And however it will be for each of us, we know that for us, we too shall depart in peace, because we have the truth and promise of God's word on that. As a starting point, if you want to remind yourself, you could begin in Paul's letters to the Thessalonian church and in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. There are other scriptures that speak of these things, but there are two places that will remind you of some of these key truths and promises on the issue of Christ and his resurrection and his return. What we call the intermediate state of those who die as believers, that immediately, though our soul, though our body may go to the ground or even be burned, our soul immediately is with the Lord and in his presence and at peace. That one more voice has been added to that heavenly choir, singing the praises of the Lamb. And then there's the everlasting state of believers, when every single one of us shall receive a new body, just like Christ's resurrection body. Bodies that will never wear out, bodies that will never grow old, bodies that will never become sick, bodies that will last for all of eternity, just like Christ's body. Something that we can't really begin to understand or imagine. But the Bible says that that will be our state, that we might live and reign with Christ. And such is his light. When we're in that place, we won't need the light of the sun. We won't need the light of the moon. We won't need the light of the stars. Christ himself, for all eternity, will be our light. And for all eternity will be our life. And this memorial table is to be observed until he comes. And so that's what we're going to do. And what a blessing, what a privilege it is for us this evening, as we remember tomorrow morning his coming into the world. But we recall and we remember it was all about this, and it was all for this that he came. If he was just Emmanuel, God with us, so what? But this Emmanuel, God with us, was to be called Jesus, because he was going to save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what he did at Calvary.